Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Bay Area, this is Jonathan Kuminga. Catch my head coach, Steve Kerr, with Wheeler and Dibs each and every week, right here on 95.7 The Game.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Including today, 2 hours from right now.
Catch my head coach until January 16th. Yes. At which point, you won't be able to catch my head coach, because he'll be a different human being. And he won't be on 95.7 The Game.
What's the actual date? Like
when he gets dealt?
Yeah, set a date. Like you've been the countdown guy.
Yep.
He's not getting dealt on January 15th.
I don't think so, but I don't think that it's going to be like butting up against the deadline, which is February whatever, 8th, or I don't even know. It doesn't feel like that actually matters. I think he gets done between JK Day and the deadline, probably closer to the beginning as opposed to the end.
Whole thing's kind of frustrating and sad, to be honest with you.
February 5th, by the way, is the deadline.
Thank you, Grandy. Deadline, yeah. Appreciate it. And I'm thinking about last year where they traded a broken D'Anthony Melton for a Dennis Schroeder.
Yeah.
And it was the day after they were able to do that, which I think is a year ago today. Or a year ago tomorrow. It's right about a year ago where they could trade Melton, and they did, and they brought in Schroeder. But, he didn't actually stay. Hopefully Dennis rented, and he didn't buy. Because if you buy a house and you're here for 3 months, that's awkward.
Warriors acquired Dennis Schroeder. It was announced Sunday, December, I think, 14th, 13th. Last year.
All right. Yeah, there you go.
Maybe 15th, 14th. Anyway, whatever. Yeah,
a year ago.
You're about right. Yeah. Yeah, it was right about now.
And the point was, when they could make a move, they did make a move. And I do think that, you know, in this case, if this continues down this path of, Kuminga is healthy and he doesn't get to play, like, let's just do it on January 15th, even if we wind up getting whatever we get. You're going to get something.
That's what I mean. Like I never like it when it feels like this. And this is maybe the more overarching feeling I get when I see the email from Joe Lacob to a fan. And again, for those of you who are just joining us and unaware of what transpired, and I guess this actually happened a few days ago, December 14th. So this happened 2 days ago, where a listener, and I don't need to go through the whole thing, a fan, emails Joe Lacob and goes, please do something about this team, right? Steph's having to do too much, got no big man. Jimmy Butler is having his skill sets being diminished. Joe responds immediately right back. You can't be as frustrated as me. I'm working on it. It's complicated. Style of play, coaches' desires regarding players, league trends. Jimmy's not the problem. Signed, Joe. So there's nothing wrong with that. I love the accessibility of it, and I love the care of it, but it sends my antennas up, and in the moment, what it also makes me feel like is that comment that we were mentioning on the crossover. Doesn't it feel like there's just a lot going on? And I mean that in a negative sense. It feels like this isn't just, they're 13 and 14 and they're struggling. It feels like people are butting heads. It feels like there are relationship problems. It feels like there are a lot of different opinions in the room. It feels like there are players who are probably really ticked off at their role. It feels like there are players who are ticked off at other players' roles. It feels like all of that. I can't tell you a hundo that that's true, But that's what all of this that I'm watching makes me feel like. And it leads to what you just said, which is that there's this fait accompli Kuminga trade thing. The whole thing I find to be frustrating and sad. It's sad that this is the way the whole thing is ending for him and potentially for more, potentially for all of them.
And even if you play that out, if that is the reality of what's going to happen, is that going to fix suddenly everything that's wrong with this team?
Of course not.
Of course not. And you actually made an interesting summation right there of what's going on, because you've got the old guys, the OGs, and I'll put in Al Horford as a part of this just based on availability. Steph Curry's played in 2/3 of the games. Draymond's been hurt. Jimmy Butler has not been as effective. And Al Horford, if he's played half the games, I would be stunned. So you've got the OGs who aren't always available. And at times, Steph Curry is amazing. He's averaging almost 30 a game, and it doesn't always lead to wins. And I actually did a medium dive. That game was the first time in the history of the association that a player made 12 or more threes and they lost the game.
Mm.
That's never happened before.
Really?
Ever.
Wow.
Ever. Ever. And I think there are 15 of those instances, and a lot of them are Clay and Steph.
Sure.
But Donnell Marshall had one, Kobe had one, and they won the game. So that tells you just how frustrating that game was, where you put up a buck 31 and you lose. But the OGs are not pulling their weight. And then the other 10 guys on the roster, it's like, Pat, you're the flavor of the week. Now you don't play. Will Richard, we love you. You're a rookie. Now you don't play. TJD, if we face a center, you're going to play. If not, never mind. And Brandon Pajemski, the Poughkeepsie kid, who Steve loves and the fans don't, that becomes a hot button issue. So Buddy can't shoot. And like, we could run through the whole roster. I do think what you said is right. Like, there's more broken than just Steve won't play JK.
Yeah, it feels like, it just feels like a whole lot of people not on the same page. And that's kind of what the email says to me. I agree with one sentence the most. It's complicated. That's the one that I really super duper agree with.
Yeah.
By the way, here's Steve Kerr's response today to this Joe Lacob email to a fan.
Joe Lacob had an email that, I don't know, leaked, whatever you want to call it. Did you see it?
Yeah. Raymond told me the story. It's not a big deal. Yeah. I'm not concerned about anything like that.
I mean, it did, I guess, express a sense of frustration with the current situation. How are you feeling, not only, you know, above you, below you, players, all that, just like the growing frustration at 13 and 14?
Well, we're all frustrated. You know, Joe is frustrated. I'm frustrated. Steph and Dre, everybody's frustrated. And this is, you know, kind of how the league works. And, you know, I hate when people, you know, are going to post private emails. Like, imagine if everyone's emails were just publicly posted, how tough that would be to live our lives. So Joe supports me 100%. I support him. We have a great connection, and we've had so much continuity here, and our stable environment and our organization is one of our strengths. And so I didn't even know about it, but Raymond told me about it. It's not a big deal.
Okay. I mean, yeah, I don't
but
think...
But he didn't like the fact that the private email got posted.
What does that make you think of? Immediately, you know where my mind went? You remember what was one of Steve's first reactions when Draymond Green punched Jordan Poole?
He was pissed that the video got out.
Exactly.
And he didn't like that this email exchange got leaked.
Yeah. So it's not the email. It's not the punch. It's the fact that it got out. And again, I'm not saying Steve was like supportive of Draymond punching someone.
No, you're right.
And this is a relatively innocuous exchange between Joe Lacob and a fan. But Steve, and I get it. I would feel the same way if I had that kind of a public persona. Hell, y'all putting this on the internet. This is a guy who doesn't even have social media. Like, he needs to be updated by other people. He's like, so there's this thing going on. this thing on TikTok right now, Steve, that you're going to get asked about. So be ready.
It's kind of like our show thread we have between you and me and Grandy and Lucas. If that wouldn't go well. No, if we were to say something like
a good idea
off the cuff about either a fellow staff member or about, you know, somebody who we cover.
Yes.
And one of us just like tweeted that out.
There's probably all kinds of fireable stuff in there.
It's a betrayal.
I might go viral. Yeah.
Thank you.
Austin in San Jose. Hey, Austin, thank you for calling. What you doing?
Hey, fellas, I'm listening to you guys, man. It's a hell of a conversation, enjoying it. Here's my quick take as being an OG and been around the sport and listened to the coaches. First of all, Steve Kerr, you can take it. You're a big boy. I don't know why this is something that we need to worry about. He's getting paid to accept everything. Coach, feedback from fans, and the fans aren't happy, Willard. I mean, we can make all the excuses in the world, but the product, Joe Lacob sitting there at courtside, he sees exactly what fans are seeing. The product isn't very good. So we can – Steph Curry is Steph Curry. We all know Steph's great. That's not the issue. But the other pieces are not good. And you even there a couple weeks ago, I think you said you were going to leave early. There it is right there.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying. I don't disagree with anything you're saying, Austin. It sounds like you think but hold on. You think Joe's email, that response – is directed at Steve Kerr. It doesn't say that. That's how you're taking it. I'm interested in that.
I think it was, first of all, I think it was appropriate. I'm glad to see that Joe responded. That means he's on top of, he hears the fans, even though a lot of people in the media say they don't care about what the fans say. Well, I think they care a lot about what the fans say. I think, let me ask you a question. I think part of it was directed at Kerr. I think it was directed at everybody, the players. Kerr, they all work for him. Remember, Joe Lacob sees everybody as a worker, right? I don't think he cares about where you sit. You work for Joe. They get paid a lot of money. They get criticized. Hey, they're big boys. They can take it. That's my opinion. And Steve needs to go fix it. He's 13 or 14. There's no excuses, man. He can't live with what he did before. This is not that team. This team is not the team that won championships. So we got to stop acting like Steve Kerr gets a pass because he won championships. This is not that team.
I don't think anybody said otherwise,
yeah,
Austin.
That's good points, Austin.
Yeah, these are all fair points. What's interesting, though, is you said, hey, Steve, it's your job to go fix it. That's not what Joe said in the email. Joe said, I'm working on it.
Right.
Now, maybe by I'm working on it, he means I'm yelling at Steve. I don't know.
I look at more at like style of play and league trends. Sure, coaches' desires regarding players is a thing, but if you want to look at this team versus a lot of other teams, they're not composed the way other teams are to be successful.
That's very true.
And that's, I think, what he's going to go out there and try and fix.
If Joe Lacob is that involved, then doesn't he share in where they are?
Which is why he's working on it.
Okay, then so that's right. If he gets to be the one working on it, then that also means he's got to share in the blame for where they sit, no?
How many calls a day to Mike Dunleavy, you wonder?
I got over under 18? Five and a half.
Oh, I'm going over.
18?
Five and a half?
That's more than every hour. Nick Friedell joins us coming up next. We're sponsored by California Office of Traffic Safety and Caltrans. Boy, Nick's going to have some insight on all this. Better stay right where you are. Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
I'm going to be completely honest with you, Nick. Did I hear a word you said?
No way.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Dog, you got some nerve, dude.
Yeah.
You got some nerve. All right, hold up. Wait a minute.
Let's put some orange in it?
All right.
Get to YouTube and... See what we're talking about.
Get to YouTube. Cousin Nick is here. River Island's guest line.
Cream Nickel.
Odyssey
Friedell.
Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all Odyssey's newest sports podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. We got a lot to talk about, but the first one is how you are just absolutely thumbing your nose at number 30. Like, unbelievable for you to come in here with a Buccaneers lid and an orange shirt on after what took place last week between the two of you. Are you two okay?
We're doing fine, but Mark, what cracks me up is I had a different hat on about 30 seconds ago, and Grandy's going, no, you got to get that Bucs hat on. So,
Grandy's behind this?
Yeah, Grandy was the engine behind the Bucs hat today. But what's hilarious is I was just wearing it the other day because the Bucs were playing, and I started asking Steph that question. He's like, man, I don't even know what you said, because he is a legit Panthers fan. And then after that game that they blew in New Orleans the other night, I see him walking through the tunnel, and he just looks at me like, we can both be miserable together, because I think we both acknowledge that neither one of those teams is going too far. But as true fans on both sides, we know that there's always a chance. So having been around him for enough years now, I respect the fact that he is still loyal to the team he grew up with. And I think on the other side, he respects the fact that I've been going to Bucs games since they were in the old sombrero.
NFC South football. Boy, it's phenomenal, isn't it? What a division. I don't even want to waste any more time on it. But good on you, Nick. All right, look, it's been a hell of a day. It's been a busy week. It's been a busy handful of games here. Let's start with the email that has now gone public between a Warrior fan and Joe Lacob. It's cool that he's that accessible. It's cool that he cares that much. Everybody agrees with that. And there was nothing in there that was like inflammatory. But I do, and I think we all wonder, how did you translate him saying things like style of play, coaches' decisions and feelings about certain players? Nick, where is this directed in your mind?
I read it when it started popping up this morning, Mark, and I didn't think twice about it at all. My first thought was, well, this is Joe Lacob being a guy who's very passionate about what that team is doing and their struggles. I respected the fact that he responded to the fan because it's interesting in the context of what we're talking about, the Bucs, the Panthers. Fans have feelings too. I mean, they're part of how this whole thing runs. It's why we all have jobs. People are really, really into this Warriors team because the standard has been as high as it's been for so many years. So as far as that went, I respected that he talked to the fan. I couldn't believe that, you know, the guy made it public. But as far as hidden meanings and what was said, I personally can only speak for myself. I didn't think much into it because Lacob has always been a more hands-on owner. That's always been part of the conversation as far as the Warriors go. Kerr's going to do what he's going to do. Dunleavy's going to do what he's going to do. And things will just keep moving.
And things will keep moving, but he says that he is, quote, working on it. And if you're trying to work on it for this year ahead of the deadline and J.K. Day is coming up on Jan 15, what can he actually do to work on it to the extent that this can actually be better than what it is?
Dibs, your guess is as good as mine. And that's really where we can get into the entire conversation, not just the last week, but where this team is at. Because, guys, I hold to this. And quickly, let's remind everyone, on January 15th, I would be shocked if the calendar flips into the day and the deal's going to go down now. So everybody just take a deep breath, because I just don't think – that is the case, but it is the one that so many fans have had circled for so long. As far as potential deals go, guys, I don't think there is a deal that takes the Warriors from where they're at right now, 13-14, a mediocre team, to the place everybody wants them to be. To me, the deal that would be the most fascinating, certainly, and would create the most interest is Giannis. And that's a conversation all three of us have been having for years. It was always Giannis and Steph. How's that going to go? Could it actually happen? Who knows? But it's more tangible, at least the mirage of it, than it's ever been because of what's going on in Milwaukee. I mean, that thing just looks like a mess that's headed in him getting traded at some point, whether it happens in the next few weeks, whether it happens later. We'll see. But that is the deal that would have the most intrigue. But I think everybody is understanding of the fact that it's Kuminga, it's Draymond, more than likely, if that were to go down, it's every pick that they have, it's whatever else Milwaukee wants. Is that the best deal that they can get for Giannis? Personally, I don't think so, but I would much rather, Dibs, this gets to the core of what's going on. I'd much rather have people who care. Joe Lacob cares. Steve Kerr, Mike Dunleavy, they care. They want the best for the group. That's not the case with all teams, certainly not the case with teams in the league, because for a lot of people, it's the bottom line, it's the money. These guys want to win. They want to improve what's going on. Again, I just don't see them taking it from where they're at to where they want to be.
But how are they all doing with each other, Nick? Right? Like Mike, Joe, Steve, Steph, Draymond, Jimmy, Jonathan. How are they all doing with each other?
Mark, I would answer your question this way because it's fresh in my mind and I got back from practice an hour and a half ago. I asked Moses Moody today. He was sitting at the podium. His conversation was about to end with reporters. And I said, Moses, how are you guys doing? How is the group doing together? Mark, I'm telling you, he paused for 5 or 6 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, is the mic not working? I was like, whoa, what's going on?
Is he
going
to start crying? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, what is happening? Right. It was weird. It was like, whoa, okay. I'll give him this. He didn't want to just say something like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. And I'll always give an athlete credit for trying to put context behind what everybody's feeling. I think what he said makes lots of sense, though. He's like, nobody's really happy with the record, of course, but he said it's a bunch of grown men who are trying to figure it out. And so all the characters in the play, they're all interesting. Mark, this is the most interesting 13 and 14 team to me that I've ever seen in my life. The amount of content, the amount of intrigue, it's every single day. But I would bring it back around to an hour and a half ago because – I think internally, everybody's trying to figure it out. What has been fascinating the last couple of days is Steph goes absolutely nuts in Portland, 12 threes, he's awesome, and they lose. When that starts to happen and you start to see guys, because our job as reporters is to ask what's going on, and they're kind of like, we're trying as hard as we can, we just cannot find the rhythm, that's where it gets even more interesting. So, I don't think that they have the answer. I think they're trying to find it still. I don't get the sense, at least right now, that everything's kind of breaking apart behind the scenes. But there is nonstop interest in a team because of the characters in play and because of the years that they've put together in the past. But every day there is some new storyline, and there is so much interest because of the fan base out here in the Bay.
And is part of the interest and the intrigue in that players 4 through 12 don't know if they're going to be in or if they're going to be out. It reminds me a little bit of Wu-Tang Clan, Nick, where you had, a couple of the big-time frontliners and everyone else is fighting for their bars and fighting for their verses. It's kind of like that, where if you're Pat or if you're Guy or if you're, I guess Pods is the golden child, but the rest of them, nobody really knows when they're going to get their bars.
I just want to take a moment, and Dibs, this is why you make the big bucks, my friend.
Oh, thank you.
You just got Pat Spencer, Guy Santos, and Pajemski in a Wu-Tang reference.
Thank you.
That is incredible. And that is why you guys are great at what you do. To answer what's going on, I think that's a huge part of it. We know seemingly night to night what Steph, what Draymond, and what Jimmy, although I think he needs to be more assertive offensively, but in theory, you know what you're going to get from those three guys. The rest of the roster night to night is just kind of up for grabs. And I know people laughed a couple weeks ago, guys, when I was like, I really think Steve Kerr is going to ride the hot hand. That's exactly what he's done. He's basically said to these guys, whoever is playing well, I'm going to reward you. You are going to get your chance. it's happened over and over again this year. The problem is, and I thought he was very honest in this before and after that game in Portland, the separation between 4 through 12, 4 through 13, isn't that much. There just are not a lot of guys consistently providing the same performance. I think it's a huge reason why the Warriors are at where they're at. It's a huge reason why Dunleavy and Lacob are trying to figure out what to do next. But if you're really trying to read what's happened this year, the short version is Steph is still incredible, but he's already missed 9 games. Draymond, we know what he's giving you defensively, but the lineup absolutely does change offensively when he's out there on the floor. And Jimmy still has shown moments, but he hasn't been the dominator they need him to be, especially offensively. When you combine those things with the fact that there's not a lot of separation behind them from the rest of the group, you have a mediocre team, which is exactly what the Warriors are right now.
We're hanging out with Odyssey Sports NBA insider and our guy, Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. All right, let's dig into Jimmy a little bit more, because I know that you've been doing some writing about it. Steve Kerr admitted after the game in Portland, he said he's done a bad job of figuring out how to get Jimmy a little bit more involved. I guess my question is, how did we get here? Why does Jimmy this year not look like Jimmy last year?
I think the biggest issue there, Mark, is that Jimmy still hasn't even been here a year within the system. And I thought Kerr was just deflecting for not just Jimmy, but all the players, because he's saying, I haven't done a good job. I mean, fans jumped all over that, but I think the reality is he's done about as well as can be expected given what the players have shown. The players will tell you how a team looks on a daily basis. And the players this year with this group just haven't played up to the level of their capabilities most nights. Or the flip side of that, Mark, is maybe they have, and that's the problem. They're just not as good as everybody hoped that they would be. Specific to Jimmy, though, I think the problem is he's trying to figure out still in his mind, how can I do what I do best in this system where Steph, as he's called him himself, is the ultimate cheat code. When Steph's out there, and you saw it a little bit in Portland the other night, there's now almost this like awe, like, oh my gosh. And maybe there always was, but I think guys had a better feel because they had played with him a little bit longer on how to work around and kind of fill in the gaps. I think Jimmy's still trying to go through that in his mind. I absolutely believe he has another level within him. We've seen it, and the nickname is what it is, Playoff Jimmy, for a reason. Mark, the problem for Jimmy is the Warriors need him to be that guy now. The Warriors have problems offensively. They have problems generating things outside of Steph. We saw that very clearly at times throughout the year, but even late in that Portland game, it was like other guys need to be able to make shots even when you were scoring 131. Jimmy has the ability to do that. I think he's just trying to feel things out. He is always big on making the right basketball play. The reality for where Jimmy and the Warriors are at right now, though, is the right play, even when Steph's on the floor sometimes, is for Jimmy to assert himself, get to the rim, and make things happen on his own. He does not want to do that maybe in game 28 or 29. He holds that more for the playoffs. They need to tell him, hey, Jimmy, we need you to click in here, because if we keep losing these games now, we all know where they're headed, and that's a play-in land that they don't want to be in. So I think he's got a different level within him still. I think he's capable of it. I'm just worried that I don't know if he can do it night by night. If you're a Warriors fan, you need the old Jimmy Butler from 3-4 years ago. I don't know if that's a possibility at this stage in his career.
Well, there's only one other guy who can really be assertive and try to get his own, and that's Jonathan Kuminga. What have you heard from, you know, what you're seeing and what you're reporting as far as Kuminga and what's now a little bit of a stretch of DNPs?
Not one thing is going to change, I don't think, right now, Dibs. I think for the foreseeable future, Kuminga is just out of the rotation. I know you guys are going to talk to Kerr here. I think Kerr has been as open as he can be in that The numbers are where they're at right now. And it's not, again, it's not like Kuminga didn't have his chance. It's not like he hasn't had his chance these last few years. That's why I, from a distance, as I read all the stuff online, I listen to the station, I hear people say, oh, but Kuminga's athletic, and Kuminga could be a guy, especially against Portland, who could help. Guys, what I would tell you is I've watched every single day so far this season. Kuminga was really good to start the season. Then he wasn't very good. Then he got hurt, and he came back, and he wasn't very good. So I understand the idea in theory. All right, well, if Kuminga were out there, maybe things were different. If you're the coach of the team, personal feelings and whatever's happened over the last few years, I can't speak to that. What I can tell you is that when Kuminga has been on the floor, when he's played well, he's gotten rewarded. When he hasn't played well, he's gotten taken out of the lineup. So I don't know if things are going to change that much between now and JK Day, Dibs, and whatever happens first week of February. I am just personally not as surprised as it seems like a portion of the fan base is. He's gotten plenty of chances. He got plenty of chances this year. He just didn't play very well. If he played better, he'd be out on the floor. And so now we wait to see what Dunleavy and that staff does as far as will a deal go down or not. But I would say this one more time, and I'll keep saying it until we get to the day. I don't think they're going to just make a deal to make a deal. They want to know that whatever deal they make helps them now and into the future. That would really surprise me if they just said, all right, he's got to go. We got to be rid of this. I think the Warriors are handling it the way they want to publicly. Kuminga has handled it well publicly. Everybody's just waiting to see what happens next. But I would be shocked if they were just like, all right, let's get rid of this whole situation.
Nick, can you take our listeners through what it's like to actually cover a practice? And here's what I'm getting at. Like, how much do you see and what are you observing right now, specifically with Jonathan, in terms of how engaged he is going through what is clearly a disappointing time for him?
I think the first part, Mark, is in most practices now at home, you're supposed to get a little window sometimes where you walk down the steps in the practice facility and see what's going on. We don't get that as much because when the window opens, that's when Kerr talks. So you don't have the exchange that maybe you did in years past where you see everybody kind of on the floor. What I would tell you anecdotally, just being around the last couple weeks, is Kuminga's handling it as well as you can. What's fascinating, and I go back to the Portland game the other night, Steph, this is post-game, is in the weight room, makeshift weight room, kind of going through his progressions, the same thing he does after every game. You've got Jimmy, who's silent in the corner, maybe talking to a couple teammates, but he looked very frustrated, and he left while Steph was talking to the media, so we didn't get a chance to talk to him. Well, here comes Kuminga, and I'm not saying he was in a good mood by any stretch, but he walked out of the locker room, you know, was getting his dinner, and it was kind of like, you know, okay, if you're not gonna play me, then what else can I do? So I don't really blame him for that. Like, it's a weird variety of emotions right now is how I would describe what you're getting at, in that Steph is doing his thing because he's so regimented. This is what he does all the time. You've got Kuminga, who realizes that his future is not in the Bay and is in this holding pattern of where am I headed? You've got Jimmy, who's trying to figure out, all right, how do I fit in best with this group and where does it kind of go from this point forward? And then you've got the rest of these guys, again, Mr. Dibs, to your point, 4 through 12, that are kind of up and down every day because – they don't know where they're going to be rotationally, and they haven't earned the right to be in the spots consistently that they should be in if you're on a really good team. So, again, the most interesting 13 and 14 group I've ever seen in my life.
Kuminga making $274K a game. So, yeah, go ahead and don't play me. I mean,
and he gets a good ticket. Like, he gets a good ticket,
great
too.
Seat. Yeah, no doubt.
It is why there's so much interest in the whole thing. But as far as Kuminga goes, I can't hammer this point home enough. If he played better in his spots, he'd be on the floor. He didn't. I think that the time has come for everybody to change directions and for him to go and proceed in his future somewhere else. But making a move in the NBA is a whole lot different in theory than it is in practice. And they have to like something that they're getting back in return to make it happen.
All right, Nick, great stuff. And go Bucks, am I right? Like, where are you and Steph watching the game together this weekend?
Well, I was joking with him because I don't think there's a game, a Warriors game Sunday.
There isn't.
Both of us.
Yeah. You're free. Yeah,
both of us have the ability to watch it. I don't think I'll be watching with Steph on some, unless something dramatic changes here, Mark, in the next few days. But what's hilarious is they play Sunday, and then 2 weeks from now they play in Tampa. Yeah. So, you know, the bragging rights, no matter which way it goes this weekend, aren't going to be fully felt until a couple more weeks from now.
Sounds like a great time to watch together because there's maybe not nearly as much on the line. But good luck with that pursuit. Nick, thank you as always.
Always, guys. Love being with you.
Okay. See
you. You too. There he goes. That's Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Check out all of Odyssey's newest sports podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcast.
That second game that those two teams will play, they'll both be in LA. So maybe they can just hunker down and it's right the day before the Clipper game.
You're talking about Nick and Steph.
Yeah.
I was like, the Bucks and Panthers are playing each other in LA?
I mean, whose house? Both of their houses is how that works.
Whoever's visiting, that's whose house it is. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Totally. All right. So back open for you, 888-957-9570. Reaction to Nick. We can also circle back to the Joe Lacob email and whether or not you're comfortable with an owner that is that involved. Some of you love it. Some of you a little hesitant about it. Let's keep talking it out. 888-957-9570. We're sponsored by Surfside. The Golden State Warriors are back. Cheer on your Warriors with an ice cold Surfside. It's only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and zero bubbles. So easy to sip and enjoy. It's not a seltzer. It's Surfside. Proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Also brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibbs. And you know, as much as I love Willard, I'm more of a Dibbs guy. So if you want to do what I do, go check in on Dibbs and say hi to him. Get in the YouTube chat. Do it right now on 95.7 The Game.
But will he say hi back?
Probably not.
Probably not, yeah.
But, I mean, I'm
but
much...
But you just appreciate the support.
Yes, I do, and I'm much more active 10 to 2 because when we get to our show, I try to yak in on what we're doing.
Oh.
And if we're having a conversation and, you know, we were talking about Kuminga not playing well, so I was looking at the two-man combinations and the three-man combinations and seeing, you know, where he ranks.
What'd you come up with?
Well, in the two-man combos, he doesn't do that well. In the three-man combos, as far as plus-minus, he's actually among three times in the top seven three-man combos. But he's got Steph and Draymond, he's got Jimmy and Steph, and he's got Jimmy and Draymond. So if you look across a lot of the three-man combos, most of them involve Jimmy and Draymond, Jimmy and Steph, or Draymond and Steph.
That's as it should be.
Right.
Yeah.
The one guy who pops the most is Quentin Post.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Quentin is he's in the top three-man combos as far as plus-minus rating and the rest of it.
Sure. Sure,
which
sure,
I think is why he is going to start. And Steve Kerr said today that he has a starting five that he's going to just go with for a while.
What do you think it is? Well, we know who four of them are.
Yeah, I think he put it out there.
Did he?
I think Moses is the fifth.
Okay.
I think I saw that from Slate.
Okay, yeah.
Steph, Jimmy, Draymond, Quentin, and Moses.
That's correct.
That makes sense. It would be Melton if maybe later in the year if Melton was fully healthy and ready to rock, but it won't be for now. I think you might see Melton close sometimes. Like, that's the starting lineup. I don't know if it'll necessarily be the closing lineup. Sometimes it still feels like people are earning their way into the closing lineup on a given night. But, okay. Yeah. By the way, that's not just the concept there, since you brought up Kuminga, the concept of Steve putting it out there that he's going to ride a lineup for a little while, that's not good news for Jonathan. Because if you're going to ride what you're doing right now for a little while, what you're doing does not involve him.
Right.
So for those who keep doing this, like every time the Warriors play, let's reboot the is Jonathan going to play tonight thing. And I think you heard it with Nick Friedell. Like, I mean, the answer for now, sort of like until further notice, the answer is no.
Yeah. I mean,
not saying I agree with it, but. The answer is no. That's what they're doing right now.
That's what they're going with. And, you know, that's my curiosity, though, is like, that's what you're going with, but you're not winning. So the last two games you've lost, and, you know, the last three games he hasn't played, and you're 1-2. And I know that Guy has earned his minutes, and, you know, I wonder if Pat doesn't get shuttled now all the way down, and maybe Will Richard gets another chance. But the idea of going with a starting five, that five that I mentioned, Butler, Curry, Green, Moody, and Post, they've started one game together. They've started 15 different lineups in 27 games. That's not good for continuity.
No, it's not. And a lot of it they've been forced into, and a lot of it has just been that they have not. You know, I keep being reminded of what Steve kept saying last year when Jimmy got acquired. We found something. We found something. We found something. They have not found anything so far this year. So, I don't know. It lands me sort of in a, I feel like as a fan, an awkward spot with all of the players, because you'd like, everybody can yell at each other about Kuminga or Pajemski all you want. That whole thing has denigrated into a schoolyard level type of an argument. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know who the hell you can count on. I don't know what combination you can count on. It includes everybody, every single Warrior has been a part of it, both looking good at moments and bad at moments. All of them. Jonathan, Brandon, and all of the other people who wear jerseys have been a part of good games, and then they have been part of what feel like ridiculous games just in these 27 that we've watched.
Yeah. I mean, it's looked good at times. Win over Denver, two wins over San Antonio, impressive. And then it's looked really bad at times, and you could look at the Indiana game, the Giannis-less Milwaukee game, these last couple of games. Like, you have no answer for Portland. If Portland's going to beat you every time, then what are we even thinking about as far as like going on a run? Because Portland is they're a bad matchup. They're young and athletic, maybe. And maybe if you leave them alone, they can shoot threes. Apparently they can when you don't guard them. So if you're having trouble with Portland, what happens when you face the Lakers and Denver and, you know, Houston and OKC?
Yeah, right now, a bad matchup means a capable team. Anybody who's a capable team is a bad matchup. Not saying the Warriors don't have a few good wins this year. They do. But even that 13-14, to a degree, has been built on the backs of, like, you've been able to handle the Pelicans when you play them and stuff like that. You had that nice game in Chicago a week and a half ago. All right, we started off the show, and we'd really love to kind of reignite your reaction. That's what makes this whole engine go. So 888-957-9570, we will take your phone calls right now on what all of us will admit, on the surface, is kind of an innocuous and in some ways really good thing, which is it's been made public, an email exchange between Joe Lacob and a Warrior fan. There's nothing in here that's like crazy or controversial. Warrior fan basically is just like, you got to do something with this team, Joe. This isn't working. What does Steph need to do? Drop 50 every night. Anyway, the point is that the owner of the freaking Warriors immediately hit reply. 2 minutes later, he replied. I want to know where the guy found Joe Lacob's email, by the way. Is it like just posted on the Warriors site? Can you just go to warriors.com and email Joe?
I think he might have reached out to Joe Lacob's like private email with the private firm that he works for.
Right. Like, how did he know that? I have no idea. But anyway, Joe's response is, quote, "You can't be as frustrated as me. I am working on it. It's complicated. Style of play, coaches' desires regarding players, league trends. Jimmy is not the problem," which had kind of been suggested a little bit by the emailer. And then he signs it as Joe. Steve Kerr had to respond to it today when asked about it.
Joe Lacob had an email that, I don't know, leak, whatever you want to call it. Did you see it?
Yeah. Raymond told me the story. It's not a big deal. Yeah. I'm not concerned about anything like that.
I mean, it did, I guess, express a sense of frustration with the current situation. How are you feeling, not only, you know, above you, below you, players, all that, just like the growing frustration at 13 and 14?
Well, we're all frustrated. You know, Joe is frustrated. I'm frustrated. Steph and Dre, everybody's frustrated. And this is, you know, kind of how the league works. And, you know, I hate when people, you know, are going to post private emails. Like, imagine if everyone's emails were just publicly posted, how tough that would be to live our lives. So Joe supports me 100%. I support him. We have a great connection, and we've had so much continuity here, and our stable environment and our organization is one of our strengths. And so I didn't even know about it, but Raymond told me about it. It's not a big deal.
Okay, so Steve's going to join us in an hour. We'll talk about it further for sure. But one thing we've done so far, we've kind of talked about, do you want an owner to be this involved?
Yeah.
And, you know, look, Joe Lacob's got a great history here. Joe Lacob cares. He's accessible. These are all very good characteristics. I get a little tense whenever, like, an owner is like, I got the basketball. Let me handle this. I don't think that's great. But honestly, if that's the biggest problem you might have with Joe, that's not necessarily a huge deal. One thing we haven't done yet is piece apart these sentences. And I think that that's interesting. Because even the four of us, adding in Grandy and Lucas, we've been talking out kind of sentence by sentence, how do you translate this? So let's go sentence one. You can't be as frustrated as me. All right, that's great. Owner cares. Next one. I am working on it. We talked about the whole, you've talked a lot about the I word, but okay, not a big deal. He's working on it. That's good, right? It's complicated. Okay. And now he gets into three sentences where you're like,
huh? Yeah.
Okay. It's like, who are you talking to? And what do you mean? So he says, style of play. So that feels like, and again, I don't know. Does this mean he disagrees with these things? I'm working on it.
Right.
Style of play.
Yeah.
Do you not like Steve Kerr's style of play? A lot of fans would agree with you right now.
Or perhaps it's the style of play that you have to play based on the roster construction.
Okay. So now, the next sentence, coaches' desires regarding players.
Ah, that to me is the most undermining part of it.
I mean, that feels like all roads
lead to Kuminga.
Sure.
I mean, what other, unless like the owner doesn't like Pat Spencer and the coach desires playing a lot of Pat Spencer, I don't know what that actually means beyond Kuminga. That feels very Kuminga-centric.
It does to me too, unless of course he's saying that Steve Kerr and, by the way, he says coaches, and there's no apostrophe, so I also don't know. Like, coaches, ES. So he's talking about coaches,
right?
I think. And again, he's typing it on an iPhone. Maybe he means Steve Kerr. Maybe he means the whole staff. Maybe the staff comes to Joe and says, we only want guards. Please.
Right.
If
enough of these big guys.
Anybody who's 6'6 or above, we hate them. Please don't bring them to our team. I don't know. But style of play, coaches' desires regarding players, league trends. League trends.
Yeah. League trends are
lanky, athletic wings who can shoot.
Play fast and shoot a bunch of threes. Okay. And yes, exactly what you said. Like, be long, be athletic, and, you know, get after people and go up and down. And that the league trends, the Warriors used to be the leader of the league trends. The Warriors were the ones who first made it a trend to shoot a bunch of threes, shoot a 30-footer, shoot a 35-footer. It doesn't matter. That's the trend they started. And now everybody's caught up to them and passed them. And so, yeah, how are you going to match those league trends?
And then he ends it with Jimmy is not the problem. I agree with that, by the way. I don't think Jimmy, like, could Jimmy Butler, could all of this be packaged differently? Could he look a little bit better? Sure. But, like, on my list of things right now with the Golden State Warriors, Jimmy Butler does not make the top three at all.
Well, what is the problem? Jimmy's not the problem.
There isn't one problem.
You're right. So if you want to talk, and I'll ask Steve this later about, you know, what are the problems mm-hmm. right now? And defensively, if you want to look at the rating, and he'll cite this, their defensive rating is pretty good.
Yep.
It's top eight in the league, depending on what site you look at. I'm looking at Basketball Reference, and they're sixth. So their defensive rating is actually really good. The offense is 21st out of 30. So what is the problem? Jimmy's not the problem. What is the problem? And the way I look at it, Mark, is you don't have anybody outside of Steph who you can consistently count on to score the basketball. You've got your shooter group, including Buddy Hield, who can't shoot. Your stretch five, Al Horford, who's got sciatica, and he can't play. And then you've got your defensive guys. GP2 had a few nice games, and he doesn't really play much anymore. TJD, God love him, has a hard time catching the basketball. So, like, what is the problem? And you're right. It's a myriad of problems.
I don't know how I would whittle it down to the problem, but...
Like, what are the problems?
Like, just a few words that pop to mind. The team turns the ball over too much.
Yep.
Okay? Both he and Kyle Shanahan and many others love to use the word connected. They are disconnected. This is a disconnected group. And for a myriad of reasons, whether it be injuries, whether it be changing lineups, and then that leads to maybe the third word that I would bring up, which is relationships. I think that there is too much discord and tension in the room right now. And that probably has a bunch of spider legs on it. You know what I mean? If you sequestered everybody in the room, I bet you'd get a bunch of stuff. And you can sort of see it. Draymond is Draymond. So Draymond rubs some people the wrong way. And Draymond can be difficult. He's also kind of brilliant. He's a savant. He's turning the ball over a lot. He's getting older. There's all the Draymond stuff. Jimmy's the new guy, but the honeymoon is over. Jimmy probably has his opinions for sure about how this thing should operate. He's said publicly he hates turnovers beyond anything in the world, and they turn the ball over constantly. So he's probably super ticked about the way this is all going. Steph's trying to hang on for dear life and always doesn't want to upset anybody. And then, as you put it, 4 through 12 is probably mostly made up of people who think they should be playing more than they are. They want to be. They would love more definition and more playing time, preferably, than what they're getting. And all of that leads to Steve Kerr and do a better job managing all that. And he stood up and he said, I need to do a better job of managing all of that. It's very hard because he also probably doesn't really have the pieces
right
that he would need to do it perfectly. So they're disconnected. They turn the ball over too much, and I think they've got some wonky relationships right now. A lot of tension in the room.
Yeah.
Those are my reasons.
And those are great reasons. And if you want to get to the 4 through 12, who in the 4 through 12 group do you look at it and go, yeah, you deserve to play as much as you are, if not more? And what we think does not align with what Steve thinks, because what Steve thinks is Pods. Pods leads the team in total minutes. He's getting 28 minutes a night, and he is a guy who is a connector. He's a guy who plays the way that they want somebody to play. He's getting you 12 a night, almost 5 rebounds, and he actually doesn't turn the ball over very often. So Pods is one of those guys who is going to be in that 4 through 12. And then when you go through, you've got your shooter, Buddy, who's not shooting great.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your defender, GP2, who for some reason doesn't get out there and play very often. He plays 12 minutes a night. You've got Kuminga with the ha-ha, but he's not playing the way you want, so you have to play Gee instead. You've got Pat Spencer, who was lightning in a bottle for a week and a half, and now he's kind of regressed to where he's supposed to be. Melton is getting better, but you can't play him more than 20 minutes right now because he's off an ACL. Quentin Post is a great spot-up shooter as a seven-footer, you know? So there's a lot of different things where most of these guys are flawed.
Let me answer that, and then we're going to go to the phones here. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app and come to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.